Welcome into the Murray State Basketball Podcast. Tuesday, March the 14th, just minutes away from the NCAA tournament officially getting underway as Southeast Missouri State will take on Texas A&M Corpus Christi in Dayton here in a matter of moments. We'll talk with Kenny Roth, Murray State radio analyst, and sort of do a little bit of a, an autopsy is too strong of a word, but we'll dig into the year a little bit and kind of get his thoughts on the season that was and obviously the season that will be now as Steve Prohm, you know, has a full spring and summer to get his team up and rolling to get ready for season number two there in Murray. Just a couple news and notes as we kind of go through. Again, Simo playing tonight. I think that first time since 2000 that the Red Hawks are in the NCAA tournament and, you know, got one of the play-in games. And I think ultimately, you know, it's a situation for the OVC that was the best case scenario. And, you know, to be one of the four lowest ranked, you know, however they rank the teams 1 to 68, to be in that 65 through 68 realm, to be able to play from, you know, ultimately it's about dollars and cents. And, you know, the best chance for the OVC to get a win is a 16 versus 16 matchup, you know, as opposed to a 16 versus one or a 15 versus a two or a 14 versus a three. You know, if there is a day that they can get a 13, you know, you roll the dice and see what happens. But again, just looking at the computer numbers, and unless some things are going to change, and history has said those things will not change, that the OVC representative will most likely be in that 15-16 range moving forward. If you're going to be in that way, just go to Dayton. Go to Dayton, dominate Dayton every year, and make sure you get that extra unit so it can be a financial ultimately a financial windfall for the conference and for the conference teams. That's really the best bet. So that starts tonight. Because again, whether you're a 16 versus 16 or you're a Murray State last year as a 7, you know, that beat San Francisco in the first round, those wins bring in the exact same amount of money. So there's no reason to be prideful. Just go in there, get your win, and move along and get ready to, I believe it's Alabama. I think it's Alabama. In the round of 64, which just proves this is the first March literally since I was in college and probably early college that I have been as disengaged with the March happenings. And it's wonderful and mostly disengaged from a standpoint of, you know, talking to my successor, Adam Wells, and trying to juggle conference tournaments, multiple conference tournaments, men's, women's, Evansville, St. Louis, high school tournaments, and, you know, McCracken going to the Sweet 16, girls, boys getting ready to head there, dealing with the Tennessee teams and Illinois teams. Like, buddy, you have a good time. You enjoy all of it. I will just sit here and I will eventually sit down in front of my bracket and try to get ready and getting ready for a Thursday, Friday, Saturday of having no responsibilities other than sitting on my couch and devouring as much basketball as humanly possible. Kennesaw State, of course, led by former Murray State assistant Amir Abdur-Rahim, former racer assistant coach William Smalls on his staff, Damon Robinson, former racer, 14 seed, their first ever trip to the NCAA tournament. They'll get Xavier coming up on Friday. Dusty May, who was an assistant with Billy Kennedy in his first year in Murray, now the head coach at Florida Atlantic. They're in a lot of ways the Murray State of this year. 31-3 heading into the tournament. They got a 9 seed, and they will face Memphis, who is obviously an 8, and then the winner will get Purdue in the second round. So not the best draw for one of those mid-major Cinderellas that you would expect. You know, get the right draw, they're good enough to win a few games. Memphis is playing as well as anybody right now. And then obviously the seven-plus footer there, Edie, for Purdue will make it rough for FAU. But congratulations to Dusty May for winning Conference USA. Some other news and notes. Let's see. Drake, Missouri Valley champ, 12 seed. They'll get fifth seed Miami. And Daquan Smith, former racer guard who transferred to Radford, to play for Darris Nichols, who is the brother of former Murray State assistant Shane Nichols, who is with his brother there now at Radford, named the NABC All-District player. I think it's only the fifth player ever to earn that honor for Radford. So good deal for Daquan picking up some postseason honors. News of the week that I'm sure was not missed, and I say news of the week, I believe it was just yesterday. Kenny White Jr., the racer guard, he is announced that he was, or it was announced, I guess he didn't necessarily announce it. Our friends at verbalcommits.com, who have everybody that goes into the transfer portal, but Kenny entered the portal, said 2:05 yesterday afternoon was when the announcement came. And, you know, ultimately, you know, as I wrote at the time, for a thousand reasons, it's not surprising that he's not coming back. You know, he put out a statement today that said, "I wish things could be different. I'm going to miss everything about Murray, especially the fans all love." You know, which kind of gives the vibe that he would like to have come back. And, you know, what, as we know about these, you know, as we talked about last time, players going to the portal. Sometimes it's players making that decision. Sometimes it's coaches making that decision for the players. And, you know, I guess reading between the lines, that sounds like it wasn't necessarily his decision. But again, I'm still not surprised. When we talk with Kenny coming up, Kenny Roth, in a little bit, you know, he will use the word fit in terms of trying to find players and find players that for Steve Prohm looking for players that fit into what he's wanting to do. And I think you could make an argument that, you know, Kenny didn't fit what Steve wanted to do. And unfortunately, you know, as the season wore on and you saw sort of the minutes get reduced, you know, I think Steve, you know, trusted some other guys on the bench just a little bit more. And I think that was, you know, Kenny offensively struggled this year, especially shooting the ball. That was really an issue, you know, shooting the ball from three. I mean, he was down around 20% for much of the season, which was significantly lower than his, you know, he was at 40 last year at Tennessee Tech. Defensively certainly struggled as well. And it just felt like it wasn't a fit, that the marriage was not necessarily a long-term one. And that's, you know, that's where we go. I think his incident in the middle of the season, you know, where he was suspended for a couple of games, I don't think that had any bearing on the big picture here at all. I think this just wasn't a fit. And that's why, you know, he is now gone. And so you have, you know, to start the end of the year with 13, you know, you've got 13 is the magic number. Steve's bringing in two guys. So that gets us to 15. So Kenny's down, gone. That gets us to 14. Jamari Smith announced he was gone last week after the season was over. That's 13. I'm going to just presume at this point that DJ Burns, even though he has a year of eligibility to come back, until I hear differently, I will presume he will not be back. So that right now has the number at 12. So Steve's got a spot to add. I will not be surprised that if there will be more guys that depart. Again, you know, when season ends, they have a, you know, they've got a 2-week break, and I think that break ends Friday. So guys will start getting back to campus, and then you start getting the one-on-one meetings with the coaches, and I think you'll see a little more turnover. How many guys leave? No idea. I think we talked about that last time. You could certainly make an argument it'd probably be about a handful. You know, really, even in the best of years, you lose two or three. So I would assume it'll probably be around five, and we'll just kind of wait to see how that all, you know, shakes out here in the coming you know, in the coming days and weeks. You know, the one point about Jamari Smith, and we didn't really get into it last time, and I think that, you know, I'm interested to see how Steve replaces him and sort of replenishes the bigs, if you will. You know, I think that he's a really talented offensive player, and I think, unfortunately, at Murray, he was sort of a man without a position. You know, and it was funny because I kind of looked at him when he came in initially, where it was, you know, DJ Burns played the four last year, and then So I guess in my brain, I was like, well, he's the four and that Jamari is the five. And really, in the end, it was Jamari was the four who would then be the stretch four. And DJ was the five who was going to be your, you know, prototypical as, you know, you can't even call him a center. But ultimately, they were interchangeable. But it was more of the four. But it was, you know, as was the case all year, both of those guys were undersized, especially in the Missouri Valley. And, you know, Jamari just didn't have – it was like that situation where his offensive game was that of a perimeter player. But obviously he doesn't have the ball handling to be a perimeter player. So he's a low post player. But then he doesn't necessarily have the size to be able to really flourish down there. And it just he just got stuck in between. You know, he was like a 3.5. And unfortunately that position doesn't really exist. I thought he made the most of his time down low, you know, in that four spot. And obviously, you know, when he had that face-up game where he could just kind of lull you to sleep and then pull up from, you know, 15 feet and knock that down consistently. You know, he had that fadeaway jumper from 10 feet, which he was really good with, you know, at times. Did not have the three-point success that he had last year at Queens. But he was just stuck in that. It just didn't feel like he really had a position for for the way Steve wants to run, you know, an offense, and certainly on a team that was, you know, was as size deficient when it came to the bigs, you know, and he was kind of had to be one of those big guys down there, and bang with guys that were bigger than him. It just, again, from a fit standpoint, it never really fully clicked with him. And that's where, you know, I'm curious to watch Steve come in and be able to now, you know, when he goes back on the recruiting trail, to be able to pull guys out, find some legit 6'8", 6'9", guys that can be forces down there that he just didn't have this year. They just didn't have it. And, you know, as he tries to, again, build. And, you know, the foundation has been set. It's like, all right, here's sort of the ground floor. We got a year under us. Now it's how do we build, you know, upon that? And so certainly wish all the luck in the world to Jamari as he begins his professional journey, wherever that may take him. And hopefully see him back this summer when we get back to another Racer Hoopalooza event that has been announced for late July for that Racer basketball reunion. All right, let's bring in Kenny Roth, Murray State basketball radio analyst, and get his thoughts on the season that was and what we can expect moving forward for this Murray State basketball program. All right, well, first and foremost, after years of spending the first week in March in Nashville or Evansville, how was your first trip into dipping your toe into Arch Madness?
Well, Jeff, it was first class. It was from the moment that you walked into the arena, it had a feel of an NCAA tournament. And actually prior to the arena, when you walked into the hotel, there was Murray State banners everywhere. There was, and from the elevator to the lobbies, there was blue and gold, everyone in their t-shirts. It was just, you could tell that there was a calculated effort to make it as big a deal as you can make it. And there wasn't a budget. They were doing it as first class as they could. And I think every team felt that. The arena is incredible. The operations within the arena by the Missouri Valley office was just so impressive on how they treated the media, offered support beyond support to make your job to do it as well as you can do it. And then I felt like from the fan experience, it was fantastic. And so I'm really looking forward to it when we roll in to St. Louis with, with one of our normal teams that we plan on staying three or four days and get our fans in numbers to be there. We had a great crowd. I thought both, you know, both nights, but nothing like we've been able to take to Evansville. And I think that we'll see that down the road as Coach Prohm and the program continue to improve.
I feel like this is probably splitting hairs and maybe just me overthinking things, but was it important to be able to win on Thursday?
I think it was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was a make or break on how you viewed the year. Yeah. Because we played really, really well, played very unselfish, played very hard, and were dominant in that performance against Valpo, and did the same. We played really well, you know, for a large portion of the Drake game, and obviously they are very good, getting a 12 seed in the NCAA tournament. But I think for how this year is viewed, going 17-13, 11-9 in the league, I would have taken that on August 1st and say that would be a huge success for the team and the staff in the first year of the Missouri Valley, just because of the turnover of obviously the coaching staff, but of the roster as well.
All right, take me into the coach's office right now. Season's over. Players go on vacation for a couple weeks and get away. And I walked by the office last week and, you know, it was like me walking by the zoo, looking through the coach's window there, and Steve's in there with the staff and they're all grinding away. What is their, and not specifically, but just in general, this time of year, what is their priority moving forward as we get ready to spring into this, spring and July recruitment period?
I think that the first what they would do is to take an inventory of what happened this season and, making lists of this is what went really well. These are the areas that we need work on. And then the third area is comparing that to the Missouri Valley on, you know, what does it take to win a championship in this league versus compared to the Ohio Valley? And then that leads to your roster discussion of, you know, what players fit the foundation and the core of what Steve Prohm wants to be about and what he wants that program to be about. And then being able to move forward and trying to, meet one-on-one with the players. Some players are making decisions that whether they want to be here or not. Other players are being told if they, you know, want to be asked back or not. And so that's quite a puzzle to be able, and you don't want to have a complete overhaul.
Right.
I think there's some really good young players in the program that with time are going to be able to turn into starters in the Missouri Valley. So being able to have a very, very purposeful spring with those players is critical prior to the summer workouts. But so finishing out these next 2 months will be very important and physically for them, and then also their skill development, and then obviously recruiting. And seeing, what do we want? How many scholarships do we have? And who fits? I think you'll see more research done from a fit standpoint, more than just how many points and rebounds that they get. And yeah. And the most important key for Steve Prohm is how hard will they play? That was frustration for him, I think, you know, from time to time as this team varied in, you know, how hard they would play. And we saw it in the first round of the tournament, a team that, you know, won through however many played that night, eight, I guess. They all played extremely hard, and every possession was the most important one. And that's that's the type of mentality he wants. And so he wants to supplement the returnees with guys that like to play, that like to be in the gym, like to work and enjoy the process.
On your list of positives from the year, what went right? What went most right, do you think, with this team?
I think the ability for them to win close games was something that was unique to this team. If it was 5 or 6 points or less, this team had some grit about them. When it got to double figures, sometimes they would let go of the rope.
Yeah.
And that was you know, fairly obvious to everyone that watched that. I think the guard play, you know, was really good at times. I think the emergence of Brian Moore, along, you know, with Jacoby Wood are going to be two cornerstones to build on. Both of them are very good leaders. Both of them, I think, can play with or without the ball. And, you know, you then are able to fill it out around, but I think they both have a desire to be really good and for our team to be good. And so, they were pluses in my eyes. I think DJ Burns, you know, his effort was there for the most part all year. You know, you got what you normally would get from him. It's the area that to me needs the most work is the core group of the players being about working and being about the process and wanting to get better within the team concept.
We knew going into this was not going to be walk in the door and you're competing for a variety of reasons with just basically the brand new program going into a new conference. But now that you've got a year under your belt, Steve's able to, you know, get a full recruiting season and player development spring and summer and so on. Your eyes have seen what the Missouri Valley has to offer up close and personal for the last 3 months. I know there's not one thing on this list, but at the top of the list, what does this program need? And the makeup of the team, do you think they need to be able to compete and have an opportunity to play on Saturday and Sunday in St. Louis, whether it's next year or 2-3 years down the line?
I think, defensively, being able, and this is so junior high, but it's so important, being able to contain the dribble. It just broke down the team defensively, you know, throughout the year, and the team continued to slide all year on the defensive end. And so whether or not that is scheme or whether or not that is, improvement from players, I think that's very important. And then offensively, I think the addition of a wing dynamic scorer is important, of someone that can shoot it to the three-point line, that can drive the ball, make plays, an all-league type performer that can, emerge as the offensive leader of this team. Because I think there were so many very good supportive pieces, but at times we didn't have that bell cow to be able to, make a play to win the game or to lead every day in practice, by their performance. So that's has to be done from a recruiting standpoint. And I really think everyone talks about the physicality of the Missouri Valley. It's there. It is a very physical league, but I also felt like that the quickness that we had as a team at times, was able to break down that physicality just because we could drive the ball and get to the free throw line. And so I think that's something to build upon that, Yes, you certainly have to have some bodies to be able to defend in the post. But offensively, something different that this league doesn't do top to bottom is have great quickness on the perimeter where you can go from defense to offense in a hurry and get easy baskets.
Last question before I let you get out of here. Drake, they've got the experience, one of the oldest teams in the country. They've got that bell cow and DeVries on the wing. They've got a heck of a point guard in Roman Penn. How far you got them going in your bracket?
Yeah, I don't think they got a great draw. Miami's really good. They got really good guards. But they're a little injured in the post. So I don't think it's a horrible draw. I would be shocked if it's not a 5-point game, under the last media timeout, that they would have a chance. We'll see how those games are officiated. One big difference in the NCAA tournament is they are guided by a completely different leadership group than the regular season officials answer to. So we'll see how the officiating is. The other piece to it is that there's a lot of discussion about their head coach and the Notre Dame job, and that he is one of two possibly in the hunt for that. And I don't know if that has any thing, negative for Drake going into the game, but I think they're the best team from the Valley to be able to win a game or two in the tournament.
Kenny Roth, thanks for giving us time. Let me bother you all season long, and all your insurance needs, contact Kenny Roth at Peel and Holland.
Oh, thank you. Love of fun.
All right. Thanks as always to Kenny for coming on and letting me chew his ear for a little while. I asked for some mailbag questions, and really the main one that came out that was not ultimately surprising, because everybody's curious about it, was just, where are we with the transfer portal? Where are we with, bringing guys in? And, ultimately I think it's still a little early because you've still got 68 teams. Well, you don't even have 68. I mean, you've got really beyond that. You've got 100 and probably 25 teams between the CBI, between the NIT, between the NCAA tournament, that you got to get those teams out. Once those teams start falling out, then their guys will, start checking out their futures and kind of see where, where their futures will lay. So, the part that I'm curious about will just be from an optic standpoint, is Murray able to add any guys before they start losing guys? And ultimately, does it matter? I don't think it matters. It's just something that people are going to wring their hands about, that when the guys come back on Friday and if suddenly five guys jump in the portal, everybody's going to lose their mind. Where, I don't know that it's time yet to start adding guys. And I haven't had a chance to talk to Steve. I'm like, I don't know what he's got two high school kids coming in. I don't know how many more high school kids he's going to want to bring in. Or if they're really just going to attack the portal. But, if you get on social media, get on Twitter, and you look at the Murray State assistants, I mean, they are following a wide range of new players that are in the portal and so on. So, the net is extremely wide for the amount of guys that they're ultimately going to bring in. But in the end, again, it is a process. And I wouldn't get... things are quiet right now. Wouldn't worry about it. I would expect this is going to be a couple weeks of, let these other teams cycle their way through, and then you'll start seeing business pick up a little bit. And, they can get, figure out first, most importantly, keep as many of the returning players as they can, as he wants to keep around, and that they want to keep, and keep that foundation. And whether it's 6, 7, 8, whatever the magic number is, then they can get working on those spring workouts, and then they can, get back out on the road and get the new guys in there in the summer, but then have a base of guys that can really help this team, build upon this year. And hopefully we see more as we head into next year. So I think that about does it for today in the Murray State basketball podcast. Getting ready for a great week of hoops, getting ready to watch a lot of it. Got a announcement coming soon about the future of this little venture that we'll have. It's kind of a fork in the road. We're still trying to figure out which path we're going to go down, but we should have an announcement on that in the next couple of weeks that hopefully will be good news for somebody. I don't know who yet, but we'll figure that out. All right. Thanks again listening to the Murray State Basketball Podcast. Haven't done so already, you can subscribe at the Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy some basketball this week. Hopefully your bracket is, you know, in one piece and not crumpled up and thrown in the trash by dinner time Thursday night. Hopefully whatever office pool you're in, it is a prosperous couple of weeks for you. Thanks for listening. As always, we will catch you very soon.